Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado, you've tuned into The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. You know, one of the rules of engagement for this program is you can tell me anything, TMA, ask me anything, AMA. On the text line, that number's 33103, 33103, keyword Michael, and then go follow me on X, at Michael Brown USA, and of course Facebook, Instagram, and all the others too. So, let's go back in history. November 2020, Joe Biden won Virginia by 54%. Joe Biden that same year won New Jersey by 57%. In fact, Donald Trump lost all six presidential election contests in the two states combined in 2016, in 2020, and in 2024. His high water mark in all of those states over all of those years was 46% in 2024. Now, Joe Biden was president from January of 21 through November of 21. Well, technically through, you know, sometime he was the president there. I'm not sure really when he was president. On August 26, 2021, a suicide bomber killed 13 U.S. service personnel outside the gate, Abbey Gate, to the Kabul Airport in Afghanistan. Now, this came in the hectic final days of a chaotic collapse of Afghanistan following President Biden's announcement of a withdrawal by the U.S. by a very certain date. In fact, he had telescoped to the Taliban, we're going to be out of there by such and such date. We're going to be out of there by August 26, come hell or high water. The method of withdrawal that was picked by Biden happened to be against the advice of every single one of his single military advisors. Every advisor to Joe Biden said this is not the way to do it. Now, the aftermath of that disastrous withdrawal included coverage of Joe Biden at Andrews Air Force Base when the bodies of those fallen soldiers were returned. And we know and we remember him repeatedly checking his watch while kind of watching the ceremony. In the moments that Biden spent with the families, he kept comparing their grief to the loss of his son to cancer, equating that with the combat deaths of the fallen soldiers who had died in all of that chaos at Abbey Gate on August 26, 2021. Now, in July of 21, Biden's approval rate hovered somewhere in, I'd say, the mid-50s range. It peaked at one point in one poll at 58%. That's July. By August, by the time that Kabul had fallen to the Taliban, it had dropped into the high 40s range. And then in the aftermath of the bombing, it fell close to 40% and then continued slowly thereafter, just to kind of boom, 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 boom. Then by Election Day in November of 21, several polls had him in the high somewhere between 34 and 38% range. The point is, the election on November 2, 2021, came only 68 days, less than 3 months, only slightly more than 2 months after the Afghanistan debacle. And it wasn't just Afghanistan. In late 2021, all this wild spending by Biden and the Democrat Congress in reaction to COVID had started to show itself. And what was it? How was it manifesting itself? We started to see inflation beginning to increase wildly. Shelf prices for virtually everything you were buying was starting to go up. And I remember it well because it was like, you buy groceries 1 week and it costs $100. You buy groceries the next week and it's $120. And you're looking, I got the same basket. What did I do differently this time? By 2019, the last 4 year prior to COVID, with a robust economy, inflation was about 1.8, 1.9%. In 2021, by the time you went to the grocery store, just after COVID, and just as Biden was beginning to spend all this money, inflation was at 4.7%, and it was just on a trend line, just like a rocket ship going straight up. Now, Biden's immediate implementation of all these new policies that restricted oil and natural gas production, at the same time that your grocery prices are starting to go up, your energy costs are starting to skyrocket too. The national average price of a gallon of gas rose from about $2.60 to over $3 in the two short years between 2019 and 2021. Increased energy costs ripple through the economy. You know this as well as I do, because virtually everything that we do, everything that we purchase somehow involves energy. It takes energy in the production. It takes energy for the people that drive to the factory to make whatever it is or to produce, you know, the can of pork and beans that we buy. It takes energy to transport those pork and beans once they get in the can, which takes energy. It takes energy to transport those to the grocery store. You got to buy gas to get to the grocery store to buy the stuff that energy's already been consumed to buy the can of pork and beans. The nationwide average, as I said, rose from $2.60 to more than $3. I think it was about $3.05 a gallon. And those costs ripple throughout the economy because it's a cost of production and it's a cost in distribution. And I would even say let's expand distribution, not just from getting the raw materials to the factory or raw materials to the production facility, that then you have all of the energy costs to distribute it to the retail outlet. And then you spend energy going to the retail outlet to buy it and to go home. And then when you go home, you're consuming energy because you want to heat your home, unlike the stupid studio I'm sitting in today, which is butt-ass cold. Those costs, those energy costs, ripple throughout everything that we say or do. So the Biden victory also, back in 2021, resulted in the full implementation of all of these diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Not just across the federal government either, but then corporate America feels pressured, and corporate America, some because they willingly want to do it, some because they hesitatingly want to do it, and some because they're forced to do it, DEI policies start going all across the country, all across corporate America, and the country as a whole. So the Biden administration had normalized, you know, cross-dressers, transsexuals in highly visible positions, you know, using the women's restroom and using the men's restroom and nobody really knowing which is which. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that kind of cultural shift. He was also promoting transsexuals in highly visible positions. Remember Dr. Rachel Levine? Remember Dr. Levine from the health department? She was an assistant secretary of health. She actually got confirmed by the U.S. Senate. So a man wearing the dress of a female admiral in a civilian department gets confirmed as an assistant secretary of health. Theater of the absurd. Absolute surreal theater gets piped into every living room, or if you were listening to the news in a car or on your earbuds, however you were consuming the news, that theater of the absurd, rising gas prices, inflation, transsexuals, DEI, everything is getting pounded into your head by the cabal. It was brought into your living rooms by the White House. and by the occupant of the White House. And all of those puppeteers around the White House, they were implementing Barack Obama's third term. It indeed was a truly triumphant victory expressed by a radical departure in our cultural norms, demanded by the increasingly assertive, radical, progressive, Marxist wing of the Democrat Party that came into power during the Biden administration. It was a shift in norms, and that shift in norms was championed and driven by the forces of the entertainment and the marketing industries without any concern whatsoever about the reaction of the consumers of entertainment or marketing or anybody else. That was the national landscape. That was the national landscape that started to develop throughout 2021, leading up to those off-year elections in Virginia and New Jersey that I told you about earlier. Remember those elections? Those 2021 elections are coming up next. So we came with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. Tell me anything. Ask me anything. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Hey, Doc. Nice office. Quick question. If you had to choose, would you give yourself a root canal or run payroll?
Run payroll, no question.
Seriously? Have you run payroll before?
Paying my team with Gusto couldn't be easier. Gusto gives me unlimited payroll runs, next day direct deposits, and automatically files my taxes. Saves me time.
Wow, that's nice.
Over here, Doc. I want payroll too.
Choose payroll without the pain. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This winter and join Wind River Resort and Casino for our $50,000 Daytona Dream Swipe to Win draw. Come play for a chance to win up to $250 free slot play, $250 in cash prizes, and a 2026 Daytona 500 package for two. Weekly drawings on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Final drawing on Thursday, December 25th. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I really do. Be sure and follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. Now, why did I give you all of that history about 20 and 2021? Because I believe that when you look at what happened in the elections this past Tuesday, even conservative media appears to completely misunderstand what happened in those two blue state elections in Virginia and New Jersey. And the sky is falling, according to them. And I don't think it is. Are there some problems with this non-election year election? Sure. I mean, Momdomini, I could talk about that for, you know, the next 20 days. Because when you look at the voter turnout data, you find that particularly young, and I'm going to put air quotes around the word educated, young educated women turned out in droves to vote for him. That shows you that they've been indoctrinated by our so-called government-run schools, and in many cases even private schools like Columbia University. They've been indoctrinated to not fully understand. They hear socialism and they think about, you know, everybody getting something free, and they really, it's like they're back in high school, you know, and the student council president's running on a platform of free pizza on Fridays, no homework over the weekends. Well, I think we got a little bit of the same thing going on here. So all of this theater of the absurd is getting fed to us. I mean, I really want you to think about COVID and how COVID shut everything down, how that completely screwed up the social development of children going to school. It actually screwed up, I think, the social development and the social abilities of many adults. And then Biden runs in, and Biden, I think unbeknownst to himself, but those that are manipulating Biden spend trillions of dollars, virtually double the American budget. And so as we go to borrow most of that money, in order to spend that money, we decrease the value, we throw more money into the system, so you've got all of these dollars chasing fewer goods because COVID shut down manufacturing, shut down and screwed up the supply chains, so you got all of this money chasing all the fewer number of goods, and so inflation begins to skyrocket. And that was and then you had the DEI, transgenderism, all of that just skyrockets during the Biden administration. That was the landscape that developed throughout 2021 leading up to those off-year 2021 elections in Virginia and New Jersey. So what happened in those years? Because I want to compare and contrast what happened in 2021 with what happened in 2025. And then everybody can just kind of take a deep breath. So let's go to Virginia first. In 2021, former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe was trying a political oddity in the state. He was trying to get back to the governor's mansion where the consecutive terms in office are not allowed, but non-consecutive terms are permitted. So it would be like you've been term limited out. You've done your 4 years. You've done your 8 years. And now you've been out for 4 years, now you want to come back and run again. He had previously served as the governor of Virginia from 2013 to 2017. Then he gets succeeded by a name you probably don't remember. The minute I mention it, you'll remember, and I bet I know what you'll remember about him, too. And that was Democrat Ralph Northam. Remember Ralph Northam? He was governor from 2017 to 2021. He was the guy who was caught wearing blackface, yet gets elected anyway. Kind of like the guy that ran for attorney general in Virginia this time, and claims that, or says in text messages, he really wants to kill the former Virginia Speaker of the House and his children. And when he's offered an opportunity to back off that, he doubles down even more so. So here's Terry McAuliffe, former governor in 2021, trying to return after a non-consecutive term. And who's Terry McAuliffe? Well, he's a longtime Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton insider. He's a confidant of the Clintons. He had won in three way races in 2013 with only a plurality of the vote, only 48% of the vote. A Libertarian candidate that year had received almost 7% of the vote. That was 1 year after Obama's reelection in 2012, where Obama had underperformed his first election in 2008, where in Virginia he went from 52% down to 51%. So you look at Virginia election cycles going back 45 years, there's only one exception, have zagged following the national election that zigged. The Virginia electorate is notoriously responsive in a negative way to the outcome of the previous presidential year's elections. I've got the receipts right in front of me. 1980, Reagan wins. But in 1981, a Democrat wins Virginia, Chuck Robb. 1984, Reagan wins again. But in 1985, a Democrat, Gerald Belize, wins. 1988, George H.W. Bush wins. But in 1989, Democrat Doug Wilder won. 1992, Clinton wins. But in 1993, a Republican wins. 1996, Clinton. But in 1997, a Republican. 2000, George W. Bush wins, but in 2001, a Democrat, Mark Warner, wins. 2004, George W. Bush wins, but in 2005, a Democrat wins. 2008, Obama, a Democrat, wins, but in 2009, a Republican, Bob McDonnell, wins. 2012, Obama wins, and another Democrat wins the next year. That is the only exception going all the way back to 1980. The only exception. So in every election except 2013, the party that won the White House lost the Virginia governor's race the following year. Now, I think that's partly because of all of the counties in Virginia, and Virginia itself, quite frankly, as a whole, that is so close to the District of Columbia, and so many people that live in Virginia that work either in D.C. in the government or work for one of the big contractors or consulting firm in D.C. I think it's their proximity to D.C. and it's the absolute tumultuous state of the two parties following a loss in the presidential election. Because losses motivate the base to action. Oh my gosh, we lost. We can't let that happen. We got to go do something. Whereas victories tend to cause people to go, oh, well, we won that. Everything's fine. So when Glenn Youngkin, the current Virginia governor, beat McAuliffe in 2021, that was consistent with the well-established pattern in Virginia. The thing that kind of helped him was a local subject, a local issue, critical race theory in public schools. Now, at the time, there was a vigorous debate going on. What was it? That's next.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
JTV, Jewelry Television. With 80,000 jewelry looks, we're kind of a big deal. Even bigger with new lines of designer handbags, fragrances, and more. And biggest of all, because you could win a 7-night stay in Bali, spending money and thousands worth of JTV jewelry, making you kind of a big deal. Enter by December 7th at jtv.com/sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Then watch JTV on TV or shop jtv.com for big holiday deals.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test. Just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Cold and flu season is here. At Orchard Nutrition Center, we understand every mom wants the best for her children. That's why our wellness department is stocked with trusted supplements to support your kids' health all year long. Build a strong foundation with multivitamin chewables and gummies, perfect for everyday wellness and immune support, and omega-3 gummies that boost brain development and keep their immune system resilient. Natural support to help them stay strong through every season. Because at Orchard Nutrition Center, we believe healthy kids make happy homes.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
No.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program. You know, for all of you who listen to me via the iHeart app, one, I really appreciate you doing that, but I got some big news for you. And the big news is, starting Monday morning, I'm going from 630 KHOW in Denver, 630 AM, and I'm moving to our flagship 50,000 watt blowtorch KOA from 9 to noon starting Monday. So if you have KHAL set as a, if you have 6:30 a.m. set as a preset on your iHeart app, search for KOA or 8:50 a.m. or 94.1 FM, or you can search for The Situation with Michael Brown. Set that as a preset, and then you'll be able to listen to me 9 to noon Mountain Time Monday through Friday. It's a big deal. It's a pretty big deal for me, and I'm pretty excited about it. So make that change and follow me through the weekday, too. If you just a heads up, if you subscribe to the podcast, you don't have to worry about anything. The podcast stays on the same RSS feed, so you'll continue to get the podcast. You may just get it later in the day as opposed to when you normally would get it Monday through Friday. So if you subscribe to the podcast and listen to the weekday program, you're good. You're set to go. Back to Virginia. So I'd say this about Virginia. Virginia is not a Republican state. When I worked in D.C. for the Bush administration, I lived in Northern Virginia. I lived in Alexandria, and I can just tell you it is not a Republican state. I might describe it as a bellwether state, a state where the wind blows only in one direction, and that is away from the White House. Whoever wins the White House, the next year, they're not going to win in Virginia. And you add this year, you add to the mix that Winston Sears, the lieutenant governor who was running for governor, she was not a very good candidate. So if her goal was to try to replicate Youngkin, which I think is what she was trying to do, and replicate that victory from 2021, she just wasn't very good at it. You know, it kind of reminded me of all people, and if she's listening, I hope she doesn't take this the wrong way, but it kind of reminded me of Gavin Newsom, governor of California, trying to imitate and act like Donald Trump. You really can't do that. You have to be yourself. When you try to be somebody else, you're inevitably going to fail. And I kind of think that's what Winston Sears was doing in Virginia. She's truly a deeply conservative candidate on cultural issues, and she's not willing to compromise. She's very noble, she's very principled, but she's not the profile of a winning candidate in a state like Virginia. She couldn't raise much money, and she didn't seek, nor was she offered the endorsement of President Trump, and I think Trump rightly made the decision not to endorse her when he could see that it would cost him political capital and it wouldn't gain him anything. And then she lost by 3.5 million votes, 57% to 43%. And that was a 20% increase in turnout in 8 years. So when you add up all of her flaws and the First Do No Harm campaign run by her opponent, Spanberger, it was an inevitable loss. The internals of that race, I think, are going to be really important when they finally are able to be studied, to the extent that they might show some shifts in demographic support between 2024 and 2025. But my personal opinion is the outcome really reflects a motivated Democrat base, as is typical in Virginia, for a party that just lost the White House, and a largely content and let's sit back on our laurels Republican base that is content with the direction that President Trump is headed, so it doesn't really push people to the polls. So when you look at Virginia, I'm kind of like, everybody settle down. When you really understand what took place there and what historically has taken place there, all of the conservative media, all of the conservative talking heads that I hear about, oh, my God, it's the end of civilization and the sky is falling. I'm kind of like, sit down and shut up. It's really not. It doesn't mean you can just blow off the midterm elections. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm simply saying when you look at what really happened in Virginia, it's not as bad as you think it is. So let's go to New Jersey. I think there were two critical facts that had conservatives, I think, rightfully optimistic about their prospects in New Jersey in that governor's race for this year. And here are the two reasons. President Trump had actually improved his turnout, and he had improved his votes between 2020 and 2024 by almost 5%, from 41% versus Joe Biden to 46% versus Kamala Harris. But notice those are still minority numbers. 41% and 46% don't get you the election. And a significant factor in his improvement between 2020 and 24 was Trump's increased support among minorities. So that's the first factor in New Jersey. There's another factor in New Jersey, and that is the Republican candidate, Jack Chitterelli, was largely unknown. He was mostly underfunded back in 2021 when he first ran for governor. And he was running against an incumbent Democrat governor. He lost by 51% to 48%, which isn't bad in New Jersey. But certainly the combination of the two could have led to a Chitterelli victory in 2025. But refer back to what I said about the fall of 2021. Those circumstances provided the wind at Chitterelli's back in 2021 that got him to within 3% of a Democrat incumbent. It wasn't enough to push him over, but everything going on in 2021 was enough to push him ahead because people were looking around at the economy, looking at their own, you know, grocery baskets. They were looking at their own gas tank. They were looking at their own heating bills. They were looking at the government spending. They were looking at the cultural stuff going on. And so, of course, but even with all of that, the best that Chitterelli could do in 2021 was to come within about 3% of the incumbent. So even with Joe Biden in the 30s in approval ratings, inflation and energy costs just skyrocketing, the Democrat in Jersey still won the contest. Chris Christie, Krispy Kreme, old chubby Chris Christie, Christine Todd Whitman, those are the only two Republican governors in recent New Jersey history. And who are they? They are both adamant anti-Trumpers. That's the Republican Party in New Jersey. The Republican Party in New Jersey is distinctly an anti-Trump party. It is not a middle-of-the-road. It's a decidedly rhino Republican Party. Now, I know that if you're listening to me in New Jersey and you're a Trump supporter, you're like, oh, Michael, no, I support Trump. Well, I know you do. But as a whole, it is a decidedly anti-Trump Republican Party. New Jersey is a Democrat state. It has long been a Democrat state. And every time Republican hopes get up in New Jersey, it's kind of like, Charlie Brown and Lucy. In fact, there are longstanding complaints in Virginia Republican circles that the mirage of hope in New Jersey every 4 years actually costs Republican candidates in Virginia because they see money from national contributors flow out of Virginia into the New York and Philadelphia media markets, because that's where you have to spend money to reach voters in New Jersey. And so every year, voters or contributors, the big donors, think, oh, I got a chance. So they spend money, outrageously expensive money, in the highest media markets, the most costly media markets in the country, New York and Philadelphia, trying to reach voters in New Jersey. So it just never materializes. The story out of New Jersey is always the same. Democrats win big in a Democrat state. So yeah, you know, pass the donuts. We shouldn't be surprised about either of these. That's what I really want you to take away from this conversation. So when you hear, because obviously the cabal is thumping their chests about, oh, this is a bad sign for Trump. This is a bad sign for Republicans. This is a bad sign for the midterms. And even some conservative outlets are saying the same thing. And once again, I'm swimming upstream saying to everybody, well, it's not nearly as bad as what you think it is. I'm just being, again, I'm trying to be realistic. Now, I do want you to know this. There are some polling results that show that some parts of the Trump coalition that carried him to win in 7 of those swing states last year, guess what? Yeah, they've moved back into the Democrat column in 2025. Support by minorities in this past election was down. Women voters played a huge role in the victories in Virginia and New Jersey. Now, final results, I haven't seen them yet on vote by gender, but all the pre-election polling showed that Cheryl was leading by nearly 20% among women voters. So I think it's pretty much a given that no candidate can lose by 20% with roughly a half of the electorate and win any race anywhere, let alone New Jersey. The Democrat Party, this is really important to note, is increasingly dominated by female voters. The Trump-led Republican Party actually skews towards male voters in equally huge numbers. But there is a long historical record of women being more reliable voters. Men between the ages of 18 and 35, those are probably the least reliable voting demographic on election day for any party. Men 18 to 35, I don't know what's wrong with you guys, but you're wackadoodles. You show up some days, other days you don't. You're not very reliable. So not only was Trump not on the ballot to drive the turnout among those men that traditionally turn out for him, I don't think he could have been a good surrogate in New Jersey. And he did not endorse the candidacy of Winston Sears, the female in Virginia, because she did not want it. So think about that and take a deep breath. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines always open, 33103, keyword Michael Michael. Be right back.
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too.
Newsmax has been terrific.
President Trump is right. Millions like you are tuning into Newsmax. You're watching Newsmax on cable. You're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. And you're downloading our free Newsmax app on your smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more, as they expose the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made us great. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. Let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. It's for real news, for real people. Make the switch today.
Ready to grow your business? KCNR is the last locally owned and operated radio station in our area. We reach thousands of listeners in our community every single day. Our professional production team creates custom ads that grab attention and get the results for your business. And you'll be surprised on how affordable advertising with KCNR is. Our listeners are your customers. Call Sue McClain today at 530-605-4565.
Hi there. It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people. And you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. But that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis, to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5. 95.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We're affected by shifts in the economy than other groups. But I want to emphasize something, too. We're not in an economic downturn that was caused by the election of Donald Trump. Let me repeat that. We are not in an economic downturn caused by the election of Donald Trump. If you look at all of the revelations of the past 10 months, among all of those was the degree to which the Biden administration was cooking the books on the economy. The Democrats and the dominated press, the cabal, as we like to call it on this program, gleefully played along. The jobs numbers were wildly inaccurate. They were always being revised downward. Economic growth numbers were wildly inaccurate. The economy was already in a recession under Joe Biden, and inflation was being misrepresented as lower than it actually was. So the Federal Reserve kept interest rates up based on those inaccurate numbers, which only makes growing the economy more difficult, and it gives people less patience to look at and understand, oh, it's taking longer because we were lied to for 4 years. That's very difficult to explain to people because it still hurts your pocketbook. I get that. But, my rule about but, these voters only know what their monthly income and their bills are. They're not focused on how the Biden administration and the congressional Democrats nearly destroyed this economy between 2021 and 2023. They're competing for resources. They're actually trying to get food, housing, consumer products. And they're competing with 10 plus, 20 plus, whatever it is, million illegal aliens that have been led into the country who have their purchasing power, their ability to buy things provided to them by taxpayers. So these, what I would call illegal consumers, are part of the calculation of more people chasing fewer resources. Kind of like rental housing. And that leads inevitably to higher costs for everything. So the Republicans have got to address this through Congress. They've got to do it. But the fixes need to understand the causes. One of the fixes is you've got to reduce the number of people chasing the fixed amount of resources. So reduction in the cost of energy, that's going to take a while to show up in the production and the distribution buy. Higher costs incurred last year have to be recaptured in prices this year, but that is a cycle that inevitably reverses itself. For example, the ridiculous cost of labor brought on by the idiotic policies like a $20 plus minimum wage have got to be brought in line with what consumers pay. Think about it this way. Take just a hypothetical worker making $35 an hour, let's say a union contract. When non-union fast food workers were making $10 an hour, what do you suppose happened to the union hourly wage rate when the non-union fast food worker is suddenly making $22.50 an hour, and that union factory worker was making $35 an hour. Now that your Big Mac meal costs you, I don't know what, $15, and it takes $60 or more to feed a family of four at McDonald's, how do you think that gets reflected in the rest of the economy? So the hike in the minimum wage was really about union prevailing wage rates, because a lot of contracts with prevailing wage rates are pegged to the minimum wage. So as the minimum wage increased under the Democrats, the union wage rate increased along with it. So now you understand why, you know, I'm going to a steakhouse tonight. And so now I know why a steak's going to cost me $75 in a really nice restaurant rather than the $35 like it was, say, 10 or 15 years ago. That's the economics that I think most Americans simply don't understand. This is 2017 all over again. Nothing that the Republicans or the Trump administration does is ever going to get favorable media coverage. If anything, the Biden years and the abject refusal to be critical in any way while a cognitively impaired doofus was in office as president, that should tell you the degree to which the media is willing to be an instrument, a stenographer, a bullhorn for the Democrat Party. When you have relentless, and I mean relentless, negative coverage of Trump, well, that's going to influence the mood of the country, generally speaking. And the elections from Tuesday are a reflection of that. So nobody in New Jersey has been in the Republican column, and nobody has New Jersey in the Republican column in 2028. Democrats are likely to continue to do well in New Jersey, just like they in 2026, just like they did going all the way back to 2000. And Democrats, they win in Virginia as the party out of the White House. And that's been true in 11 of the past 12 election cycles. You know what does matter? When it comes to a margin of victory in a close race, it's the candidate that matters. Now, just let me say this. Elections in New York City are meaningless in the United States. New York City is only nominally part of the U.S. right now. In fact, escape from New York, build the wall around it. It's a great time for an experiment. And let's look at the shocking results. It's a weekend with Michael Brown. Text line 33103. Always open. Keyword Michael. I'll be back.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
JTV, Jewelry Television. With 80,000 jewelry looks, we're kind of a big deal. Even bigger with new lines of designer handbags, fragrances, and more. And biggest of all, because you could win a 7-night stay in Bali, spending money and thousands worth of JTV jewelry, making you kind of a big deal. Enter by December 7th at jtv.com/sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Then watch JTV on TV or shop jtv.com for big holiday deals.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump's agenda could be in jeopardy as the Supreme Court weighs the constitutionality of his sweeping tariffs.
Tariffs have played a central role in the president's economic and foreign policy agenda during his second term, and he describes his tariff case as one of the most important in American history. Last week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments about the president's use of an emergency law to impose import taxes. During the 2.5-hour session, conservative justices asked some tough questions about the legality of Donald Trump's unilateral tariff authority. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The flight cuts at airports created a few headaches for travelers starting on Friday.
More than 1,000 flights were cut, but the airline stayed mostly on schedule. Karen Soika was supposed to be on one of the canceled flights out of Newark.
Talk to a few people here. They're saying, if I were you, I would not travel over the next 3 days. It's going to get worse.
There were last-minute cancellations and long security lines at 40 airports targeted for the slowdown. Gail Daly was trying to fly out of Denver. She's sick of the shutdown.
It's just a game back and forth of holding out who's going to get their way.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the number of canceled flights could double if the shutdown continues. I'm Ed Donahue.
OpenAI facing a wave of lawsuits, including wrongful death claims, alleging its GPT agent contributed to suicides. UPS and FedEx grounding some planes after last week's deadly crash in Kentucky.
UPS and FedEx have decided to ground their fleets of MD-11 planes out of an abundance of caution after a deadly crash at a UPS global aviation hub in Kentucky. The companies announced their decision separately late Friday. The MD-11 aircraft make up about 9% of the UPS airline fleet and 4% of the FedEx fleet. The company stated their decisions were made proactively at the recommendation of the aircraft manufacturer. Ron Taylor reporting.
More at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now.
800-583-0141.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey is lobbying for more federal agencies in his state.
I think that President Trump knows that he has a lot of support in our state. We're going to treat people well, and we show great respect for the rule of law. And that's what you look at when you have an environment for the FBI. So I'm a big advocate of getting some of these agencies out into the field across the country.
The FBI currently operates a big criminal justice information service complex in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Economist Steve Moore is calling out blue states for enabling a lot of fraud in the food stamp program.
They've either invalidated or not enforcing work requirements. And this is one of the big issues in this dispute between the Republicans and Democrats. I'm sorry, if you're able-bodied and you're of working age, stop watching TV, stop playing computer games, and get a job.
Economist Steve Moore made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The son of golf's most famous modern-day player receiving some recognition of his own at a young age. Here's correspondent Gethin Coolbaum.
The son of Tiger Woods is an All-American. Charlie Woods was selected on the first team All-America list by the American Junior Golf Association. His famous father was the AJGA Player of the Year in 1991 and 92. Charlie Woods is a junior at the Benjamin School in South Florida. Woods won his first big title at the Team TaylorMade Invitational in May. The teams were determined exclusively through the Rolex AJGA rankings as of October 14th. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
The NCAA has revoked eligibility for six more college basketball players. They're all accused of adjusting their play to either lose games or not cover betting lines or ensure certain prop bets were reached or provide information allowing others to do so. More from townhall.com.
Back-to-school specials are here at Charlieu's Tap House. Feed the whole family with a large shoe-topping pizza, big fresh salad, and a basket of breadsticks, all for just $48. And hey, don't forget to book your kids' birthday party in our adventure room. They'll make their own pizzas, jump in the bounce house, and play in the arcade. Or let them play while you relax and dine. Parents, we've got you covered, too. Happy hour, 7 days a week, from 3 to 6 p.m. Enjoy the beer wall for 25% off and deals on appetizers. Stop by Charlieu's, located at 1901 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway. Charlieu's Tap House, where family traditions begin.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Explain, nor do stand your ground laws explain broader homicide trends. And the practical purpose from a stand your ground law is simply to remove any ambiguous retreat duties that could endanger lawful self-defense. Friday mornings, but it'll still be Friday mornings. Yeah. On Fridays in the last segment out, the last hour of our program, we do a segment called Taxpayer Relief Shots. And in those, we play a couple of sound bites as introductions from Sheriff Grady down in Florida and then a constable up in Canada who have completely opposite views of stand your ground. And of course, Sheriff Grady believes that if somebody's breaking into your home, shoot them so they look like grated cheese is one of the statements that he makes. Whereas in Canada, the local cop up there, the constable or whatever he's called, basically says, you know, you really should, if somebody's breaking into your house, you really should try to hide. You know, because it's more likely than not, which is not very comforting stats to me, but more likely than not, you might be able to escape. Yeah, he suggests you go hide in a closet. Really? So the burglar has a gun in his hand, can find you in the closet, and now you're trapped and he can just shoot you in the closet? I mean, it's just... But I want you to understand, I want to try to convey the legal architectures of self-defense, no duty to retreat, and how stand your ground modifies the prosecutorial and the evidentiary dynamics in a self-defense case. I want to think about the Wall Street Journal's claims about justifiable homicides and distinguish the rate and scale context from the trend narratives that they try to claim. I want us to assess competing interpretations of deterrence versus escalation. And obviously, I identify confounders during the same time frame that the Wall Street Journal uses, like police pullbacks, violent crime spikes, reporting system changes, all of which go into the mix of giving you the stats which anybody can manipulate to mislead you about crime or stand your ground statistics. And then let's go and apply some historical and doctrinal context, including some testimony from the Second Amendment expert, Professor John Lott, and some high-profile cases. So let's get started on this. So stand your ground. Stand your ground removes any duty to retreat for a person lawfully present who reasonably believes deadly force is necessary to prevent death or great bodily harm. Now, there are various state-by-state variations on that. There are different kinds of presumptions and immunities. But the Wall Street Journal's framing, that I'll give you some details to in a minute, implies that asserting self-defense now broadly enables killers to evade prosecution, while the underlying scale of justifiable homicides remains very small relative to total homicides. So the journal reported, the Wall Street Journal, reported a 59% rise in justifiable homicides by civilians like you and me between 2019 and 2024. It was a large sample of cities and counties in stand-your-ground states, and then they contrasted that 59% rise in justifiable homicides with a 16% rise in total homicides in the same localities. They drew upon the FBI submissions, and they focused on agencies with supposedly, I couldn't really get into the detail, I couldn't find the details of it, but supposedly with some consistency of reporting across that same period. The narrative headline in the Wall Street Journal emphasizes that, to put it in the vernacular, how I would speak, the Wall Street Journal tries to claim that it's easier than ever to kill somebody in America and get away with it. And the implication is that stand-your-ground laws have expanded legal protections in public places and have complicated homicide charging by prosecutors for cases that get framed as self-defense. Are they right or are they wrong? Well, let's think about a scale versus a trend. And what do we have? We have a problem with the denominator. Because critics point out that while percentages increased, the absolute numbers remain small, peaking around 200 justifiable homicides by private citizens like you and me in 2023, which amounted to about 1% of total homicides that year, 2023. Well, that undercuts the perception of some sort of large policy-driven wave of excused killings. This small scale raises questions about the substantive policy effect and whether headline percentages mask the limited absolute scope of these incidents across all jurisdictions, not just stand-your-ground states. The data integrity is questionable, very questionable. But we'll get into that data. Well, let me give you just a hint. Coverage expansion and consistency, for example. The National Crime Reporting Stats, that coverage increased substantially between 2019 and 2024. Well, that is what prompted the Wall Street Journal to restrict their analysis to agencies that consistently reported. Even then, year-over-year comparability still remains sensitive to reporting participation and classification practices. In other words, you may say that, okay, I'm going to restrict my analysis to agencies that consistently report. But even then, that consistent reporting can be varied based on how often did you report, what did you report, and how did you classify things. When you look at the macro violence trends, well, I'll do those after the break, because I really want you to understand the macro violence trends and what it really shows. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line 33103, keyword Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. What are the trends? That's next.
Are you facing an unexpected financial emergency? You need WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com could help you get up to $5,000 fast. WeFixMoney.com is free to use, available 24/7, and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to the name you trust, WeFixMoney.com. If you need emergency cash up to $5,000 for bills or anything else, type WeFixMoney.com directly in your browser. That's WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from one year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Brown. Really glad to have you joining me today. Be sure and go follow me on X, at Michael Brown USA. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram also. We're talking about stand your ground laws. And the Wall Street Journal's claim that the more that we get stand your ground laws, that's a causal link between stand your ground laws and an increase in homicides, murder rates, and an increase in violence. And I think the Wall Street Journal is completely misleading you. Let's think about the macro violence trends. Now, homicides surged nationally in 2019. Let's be careful here about the definition of a homicide. The homicide is any killing of another human being. Some are justified, some are unjustified. Some are, you know, murder, where you actually outright murder somebody. Some might be manslaughter, where, you know, you drunk drive and you don't deliberately kill somebody, but, you know, because you're an idiot driving drunk, you kill somebody. So just homicides surged nationally in 2020. And they remain relatively high through 2023. So that complicates any casual claim that a stand your ground law would drive changes in justified homicides independent of broader crime shifts. The Wall Street Journal never shows many other broader crime shifts. And then you have the whole context about policing. Reductions in proactive policing and this entire defund the cops climate after 2020 plausibly, I just use the word plausibly specifically, plausibly increased reliance on private self-defense. And that could elevate justifiable homicide counts, irrespective of stand your ground status. So stand your ground addresses the ambiguity and the delay introduced by the other standard, which is a duty to retreat, especially the retroactive parsing of whether an appropriate retreat was even possible. And that can chill a timely defensive action. And that could also, likewise, empower an overly zealous charging decision. So the doctrine of stand your ground does not legalize aggression. It applies where the defender is lawfully present and reasonably perceives imminent deadly threat within the traditional bounds of the words necessity and proportionality. So, you know, the George Zimmerman case down in Florida is frequently invoked. But even a stand-your-ground critic would have to acknowledge that his defense did not rest on stand-your-ground. Well, why? Because on the facts presented in that case, retreat was not an available option. If you're restrained on the ground by the guy that's beating the crap out of you, you can't retreat. So rendering stand-your-ground analysis based on the facts of that case, stand your ground analysis becomes irrelevant to the posture that the verdict or the what the verdict might claim. Policymakers and media, I think they purposely conflate Castle Doctrine, public carry, and immunity provisions. But the core stand your ground change is the removal of a retreat requirement in public spaces, without negating the baseline tests of immediacy, reasonableness, and unlawfulness of the aggressor's threat. So let's think about escalation, because there are different competing policy narratives. One is escalation concern. Now, the Wall Street Journal type critique suggests that stand your ground increases legally sanctioned killings. Those are the words they use, not mine. They claim that stand your ground increases legally sanctioned killings. And they claim may incentivize a quick-tempered confrontation ending in death and that there is minimal accountability. And then they cite a few individual cases where only survivors' accounts remains. Well, that's not really a good basis to make a claim. Then you have the issue of another policy narrative, and that's deterrence and equity claims. Now, the proponents, like myself, would argue that stand your ground best protects those at the highest risk, often high crime neighborhoods. Why? Because it reduces legal ambiguity, It ensures lawful defenders are not penalized for simply failing to execute uncertain threats. You know, with some research noting that there's varied success rates among across demographic, particular demographic pairings, and there are obviously legal controversies around racial disparities. Well, that just simply requires careful jurisdiction-specific analysis, which the Wall Street Journal does not do. Let's think about the evidence. Let's appraise the evidence that the Wall Street Journal provides. Available counts of civilian-ruled justifiable homicides remain low nationally compared to total homicides, even during the peak in 2020, when we're at near 200. So that limits the aggregate safety risk signal that you might get when you look at Stand Your Ground alone. The 59% increase in Stand Your Ground locales between 2019 and 2024 is a notable direction of trend stat, but its causal linkage to Stand Your Ground is weakened. It's weakened by contemporaneous national shifts in homicide, gun ownership, enforcement patterns, reporting practices, as well as the presence of similar increases outside Stand Your Ground states over longer horizons, longer periods of study. So the journal's methodology underscores, I think, a very basic challenge of data set maturation, meaning even careful filtering, trying to get to consistent agencies, cannot fully neutralize the selection and the classification effects across a very volatile crime period that they've chosen to look at. There are very specific practical implications that prosecutors and defenders of Stand Your Ground have got to take into consideration. Because Stand Your Ground does not prevent charges where evidence contradicts a self-defense claim. Rather, it simply removes a retreat requirement or a retreat prerequisite, and even in some states, supplies pretrial immunity where it burden shifts that narrow prosecutorial discretion only where the reasonableness standard happens to get met. So prosecutors still have to evaluate the imminence of the threat, the proportionality of the response, the unlawful aggression, and the defender's lawful presence. So unfounded invocations of "I feared for my life" get scrutinized against what does the physical evidence show? What do the witnesses say? What does the forensics indicate? And, of course, we now have video everywhere. Hence, the low national scale of justified rulings relative to overall homicides. Then you've got the cabal. How does the media frame and time these stories? And I think this one is a telltale sign. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. Stand Your Ground continues next.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too.
Newsmax has been terrific.
President Trump is right. Millions like you are tuning into Newsmax. You're watching Newsmax on cable. You're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. And you're downloading our free Newsmax app on your smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more as they expose the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made us great. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. Let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. It's for real news, for real people. Make the switch today.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Jones's Fort Gun Shop, selling your favorite guns since 1962. This November, we honor all veterans for your service and sacrifices as we approach the holidays. Jones's Fort would like to express our gratitude and acknowledge their willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice and recognize their commitment to freedom, patriotism, family, and hard work. Jones's Fort could not have prospered these last 64 years without the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, Your Talk Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, Your Talk Radio.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Great food, affordable prices, friendly service. You'll find all that and more 7 days a week at Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment.
Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From homemade soup, salads, and sandwiches to great steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh daily and served with a smile, or we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, daily specials, and prime rib are available any time of the day. Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue, home of the best Bloody Mary in town.
Thousands of veterans in Shasta County have served our country with pride, and many of them rely on social services at the VA clinic for their health and welfare needs. Transportation is key to their ability to access these services. Help salute our veterans by making a cash or check donation to provide free bus passes to local veterans in need this giving season. Look for our Rob a Bus Drive, Friday the 14th, at Plumas Bank locations on Hartnell Avenue and Hilltop Drive in Reading, in Anderson, the public parking lot at 4305 Shasta Dam Boulevard, and the Burney Library, between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m., or make a donation online at robaveterans.com.
And you can also search for The Situation with Michael Brown. And you can continue to stream me live if that's what you want to do. Podcast, that remains the same. Podcast will still be fed to you 6 days a week, just like it does now. Look, we're talking about stand your ground laws. And what set me off was an article from the Wall Street Journal. And I would criticize the journal's focus, because what they do is they conflate a modest absolute increase with systemic impunity. And they overlook crime spikes and these enforcement shifts, like, you know, defund the cops, that had persisted since 2020. So that presents an implicitly kind of causal stand your ground narrative, but it's based on insufficiently controlled observational data. I would frame the timing of the article as being very politically suggestive, because they do so in a climate of polarized debate over self-defense, polarized debate about policing and policing practices, and what is unfortunately becoming an even more volatile discussion about Second Amendment rights. So I would caution anyone who has seen this article or hears stories about the article against these panic narratives that are completely untethered from absolute baselines or doctrinal limits. So here's some key takeaways. Stand your ground removes the duty to retreat, but it maintains a core self-defense gatekeeper: imminence, necessity, proportionality, reasonable belief, constrained to lawful presence. Percentage increases in justifiable homicides since 2019? Yes, there have been increases in justifiable homicides since 2019, but that masks very small absolute numbers compared with total homicides. So that weakens the claims of a widespread license to kill effect, which is what the Wall Street Journal wants you to believe. You know, I would just add this as a footnote to my notes here. I hadn't thought about this, so I just, you know, I say it out loud and I think of things. This idea that gun owners are looking for opportunities to use their guns is utter bullcrap. Those of us who conceal carry, those of us who carry in our cars or in our backpacks or on our ankles or waist, wherever you might conceal carry, we're not looking for an encounter. We're not looking for an opportunity. We try to avoid those situations. But the anti-gun people will never comprehend that. They think we're all a bunch of cowboys just out there looking for an opportunity to shoot somebody. So that's why these notations that the Wall Street Journal makes about an increase in justifiable homicides since 2019 is not a way to say that stand your ground laws have led to a license to kill effect. Now, here's what's interesting. When you look at the time frame, whenever you look at stats, don't you ever think to yourself, why did they pick 2019 to 2024? Have you thought about that? Because the 2019 to 2024 window coincides with major crime, policing, and reporting changes. So that makes causal attributions to stand your ground alone methodologically fragile. Unless you can show me stronger controls and broader comparative baselines, that window is suspicious to me at face value. Now, policy evaluation really ought to focus on net safety effects, equal protection concerns, and, of course, clarity for citizens and prosecutors, rather than the stupid headline-driven inference from limited scales and confounded trends, which is what the Wall Street Journal is doing. You know, I've said I'm an avid reader of the Wall Street Journal, but I know what I'm reading. I love the editorial page. I take the reporting page with a grain of salt. How should, for example, I want you to think about a few things. How should agencies handle stand-your-ground cases when only the survivor account exists? And what evidentiary threshold should trigger charges despite a self-defense claim? That's why I often argue to people who have a concealed carry or live in a stand-your-ground jurisdiction. You need to carry insurance, because all of those things, evidentiary thresholds, may or may not trigger charges against you. You need to consider that in advance of ever using your gun. So that's why you should go to one of the many organizations that provide self-defense insurance, legal insurance. You should see if you can attach it to your homeowners. You should see how you can find it independently. But you should get it, because a stand-your-ground case where only your account exists, your story is the only one that exists because there's no video, the perpetrator is dead, he's bleeding out in your living room. Yes, your story will be the main story. But that doesn't guarantee that a prosecutor, a zealous prosecutor, isn't going to find something, or most importantly, you're going to say something. And I know it's hard. Why do I know this? Because I've defended some stand-your-ground cases. It's very, very hard, after all the adrenaline is flowing through your body, because someone's just broken into your house, whether they were carrying a gun or not. You had to make a split-second decision because your kids and your family were upstairs asleep. You heard the door crash. You heard people stumbling over furniture as they're coming into your home. You make a split-second decision, and you legitimately, lawfully, legally exercise your stand-your-ground rights. You lawfully, legally exercise your natural God-given right of self-defense, so you have morally and legally complied with everything. And then you open your mouth, because the cop's asking you what happened. Or a prosecutor or a detective shows up and asks what happened. And the natural tendency is to say, well, you know, I was upstairs asleep and this guy broke in. And I, well, you know, then that leads to other questions. How do you know it was this guy? You know, what did you hear? You never know what you say that may cause a little bit of doubt that gets put into a police report. And I'm not saying the cops are not on your side. They probably are on your side. But anything you say can and may be used against you, so keep your mouth shut. And it's hard to do. And it's really hard to do when you don't know, oh my gosh, who am I going to call? I need a lawyer here. Because remember, this thing about what happened, in the most naked terms, you just killed another human being. Now, I know there's all the other factors. You killed a human being that was breaking into your home. Well, what evidence is there of that? Oh, you just killed another human being that was threatening you, and you had a reasonable fear for your life. Okay, you know that. What evidence is there of that? You know that you just killed somebody in your home because you felt an imminent fear for your family and your children upstairs. Really, they were upstairs. What danger was there to them? And by the way, you killed him in the foyer of your home. He didn't even make it into the living room. All of those are factors that a prosecutor and a Leo is going to take into account when they're putting together their report, even if they believe everything you say. But then a prosecutor looks at it and says, I don't think that was necessary. You could have, come up with any number of excuses, but a prosecutor could. I'm not saying all prosecutors are this way. I'm just simply saying an overzealous prosecutor may find something you said. They may find a little bit of evidence somewhere, and suddenly you're facing second or third degree murder charges or manslaughter charges, all because you opened your stupid mouth. So I know it's, I understand the adrenaline's flowing. You've got a body on your front porch or in your house. Your kids and your spouse are all hovering upstairs, huddling together because they're scared. They've been brought down because obviously they might be witnesses. The cops want to know from them what happened, blah, 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 blah. My advice is get a lawyer there ASAP. Now, decent cops who understand in a self-defense situation, you're right, as they should in any case, but particularly in those situations, that you want someone present. You want someone present to guide the questions, someone who can filter the questions, someone who can tell you, don't answer that, or it's okay to answer that, or let's go talk and you tell me what happened first, and then based on what you tell me, I'll tell you whether or not you can say the same thing to the cops. Decent cops will understand that. Now, you may piss them off because they're in a hurry. It's late at night. They were just at their shift change. They got a dead body on their hand. They got to fill out all the reports, yada, yada, yada. All of that goes on. But again, you have to protect yourself. The cops, in general, are not your friends in those situations. They're trying to figure out what happened. Now, they may already have in their mind, hey, you know what? This should not be a charge. There shouldn't be no. In fact, some of the taxpayer relief shots that we play, you'll hear the public information officer say, and no charges are going to be filed. Now, sometimes I wonder on what basis they make that statement, because a prosecutor may have not yet looked at it, or maybe a prosecutor has said, no, we're not going to file charges here. Get a lawyer. Get insurance. And if you don't believe me, I would encourage you to go Google the Wall Street Journal about Stand Your Ground and see what kind of evidence they're showing, because the evidence they try to show indicates that Stand Your Ground, to them, or at least to those reporters, is a license to kill. And you and I know that it's not. I'll be right back.
JTV, Jewelry Television. With 80,000 jewelry looks, we're kind of a big deal. Even bigger with new lines of designer handbags, fragrances, and more. And biggest of all, because you could win a 7-night stay in Bali, spending money and thousands worth of JTV jewelry, making you kind of a big deal. Enter by December 7th at jtv.com/sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Then watch JTV on TV or shop jtv.com for big holiday deals.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I'm also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you tune in. Appreciate you listening. One thing that I found interesting that was not in the Wall Street Journal was the old trope that stand your ground laws are racist. You know, they tried to pull every other rabbit out of the hat, but they didn't pull that one out. Back in 2013, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, John Lott, testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights, where he addressed this flaw in the logic that goes kind of like, you know, even in blue states recognize that poor minorities who live in dangerous neighborhoods stand to gain the most by these laws. That's based on a quote from Barack Obama around 2004 when he was then a state senator. Well, John Lott testified as follows. Apparently forgotten are the reasons that stand your ground laws exist. They originated to solve the real problems with the requirement to retreat. The required delay to retreat sometimes prevented people from defending themselves. Requiring an appropriate retreat adds additional confusion to those defending themselves, and the concept is left to prosecutors to define, for the prosecutor to define what it means to retreat and how far and how quickly. He testified, sometimes overzealous prosecutors claim that people who defended themselves could have retreated even further. And he says, despite the ruckus over the law that after the George Zimmerman acquittal, his defense team never raised the stand your ground law as a defense. And that should not be a surprise. After all, if Zimmerman was on his back and Trayvon Martin held him down, as the forensic and eyewitness evidence indicated, Zimmerman had no option to retreat, so the law was completely irrelevant. And then he went on to say that the real measure of stand your ground laws should be the number of lives that have been preserved, not lost, but preserved. And he told the Senate this, with so many states having these laws for so many years without controversy, possibly the most surprising fact is that no state that has adopted such a law has ever rescinded it. The only way that we can evaluate stand your ground laws is by looking at their net effect on lives saved. As one commentator said, you have to wonder why the Wall Street Journal is even bringing this up. What does it have to gain by fomenting fear about Americans who have Second Amendment rights defending themselves with deadly force? In a climate where left-wing violence is metastasizing, one can only speculate about the Wall Street Journal's motivations. But the timing sure does seem suspicious. I would quibble with that as follows. The timing's not suspicious to me at all. It was probably just on their rotation of, well, we haven't covered this story in a while. We need to cover it. And if we go back and we cherry-pick the data, we can show there's been a spike in crime. And we can show there's been a spike in homicides. But if we just focus on the homicides and then try to correlate that without any sort of causation to stand-your-ground laws, then we can do an article that basically says stand-your-ground laws has resulted in more people dying But don't issue the race thing right now because we don't really have anything about race. It's how the cabal operates. It's a great way of how even as storied a publication as the Wall Street Journal has an agenda. And that agenda is to cause people to have, who have preconceived notions, for their confirmation bias to set in, and for people to think to themselves, oh, you know, I read this story in the Wall Street Journal the other day and talked about how crime is up and the number of homicides are up and then the number of states that are adopting stand your ground laws is beginning to increase and nobody's rescinding it. And so crime's going up. And so therefore it must be that stand your ground laws are letting all these, you know, wild ass cowboys just go out and just shoot them up. The OK Corral out there. If you, I'm not saying, well, I am saying that that's exactly kind of how some people with confirmation bias think. But if you're watching the news and you watch what's happening with the attacks on ICE agents, if you watch the news and you see what crowds are doing in terms of surrounding cars, turning over cars, whether they be cop cars or privately owned vehicles, it doesn't make any difference to me. You watch that and If you're not thinking to yourself, how do I get out of that situation? And if I can't get out of that situation, what do I do to defend myself? And if you're not thinking about any of those things, shame on you. But if you're not thinking about any of those things because you're not willing to defend yourself, then you'll end up being a victim. You'll absolutely end up being a victim. Now, there are alternatives. You don't have to own a Glock. You don't have to own a 44 mag. You don't have to own, you know, a 10 gauge shotgun keeping your car. You don't have to do any of that. There are all sorts of non-lethal options available too. The point of the entire segment is, oh, we're now going to start trying to draw some sort of causal effect between stand your ground laws and the number of homicides, which I think is fatally flawed, but we're going to raise the issue of violence. Violence, which is really out of control in this country. And my question simply is, are you prepared? Speaking with Michael Brown, text line's always open, 33103, keyword Michael. Be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Okay, all signed up. Easy. Now let's run payroll. What the? Hey, girl. I'm you with more gusto. Nice. Who's that? New social media manager. Hired and onboarded with gusto. And spoiler, we're kind of famous now. Wait, we're famous? Oh, well, I'm famous. Payroll, benefits, and HR. Designed and built for small businesses. Choose a future with gusto.
As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.